Today is the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Now, the epistle for the Feast of the Purification is taken from the prophecy of Malachias, the third chapter. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts, and who shall be able to think of the day of his coming? And who shall stand to see him? For he is like a refining fire, and like the fuller's herb, and he shall sit refining and cleansing the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and he shall refine them as gold and as silver, and they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. And the sacrifice of Judah and of Jerusalem shall please the Lord, as in the days of the old and in the ancient years, saith the Lord Almighty. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. At that time, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. Words taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At times, my dear friends, we may be troubled by the overwhelming weight of the sacrifices we're called upon to make in order to live as Catholics in the midst of a pagan society. Or sometimes we may feel that there is just no point in making these sacrifices because we seem to get no benefit from them. But in today's feast, Our Lady shows us the secret to making these sacrifices, not just with patience, but even with true joy. You see, today's feast commemorates two events which happened on the same day: Our Lady's purification, or legal cleansing, and Our Lord's presentation, or offering, in the temple. Both these events took place in the temple at Jerusalem 40 days after Our Lord was born. The Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph took the infant Christ to the temple. There she offered the sacrifice of a turtle dove, which the Mosaic law ordered all new mothers to offer. Next, she offered her son to the service of God by handing him to one of the priests, who offered him to God. Then Our Lady and Saint Joseph, so to speak, bought him back with a few coins, as was prescribed by the law. And finally, the Holy Family offered a sacrifice of two turtle doves in thanksgiving for God's blessings. As they were leaving the temple, they met Simeon, who had been told by God that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So you see, Simeon knew that our Lord was the promised Redeemer, and he thanked God for his goodness in sending him. He also foretold that our Lord would be hated by many people, and that a sword would pierce Our Lady's own soul. Despite this sorrowful prophecy, and despite all the sacrifice involved in the presentation, these events form the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary. Why is this? How could an event which foretold the greatest suffering a person could endure, and which involved a mother freely offering up her only son to a life of suffering, be considered a joyful mystery? Well, you see, because Our Lady knew that her son was God, she wanted above all else to do his will and to please him, even though at that moment of the presentation, she knew that she was offering up her son to die for our sins. How much pain this offering must have caused her, and yet she offered him up joyfully. How? How could she do this? Well, she did it by thinking of God and of what she was giving to him, rather than thinking of herself and what this offering was costing her. She knew, of course, by faith that this sacrifice would give God glory and would atone for sin. So she united her sufferings to her son's future passion and focused on the joy of helping to save souls. And so it was that she had the joy of offering to God the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of the God-man. And my dear friends, living by faith will help us to do the same thing. If a particular sacrifice is difficult, or if the number of your sufferings seems impossible to cope with, look to our Lord and what the sacrifice will mean to him, rather than at the difficulty. If you can see the sacrifice as giving pleasure to our Lord by helping to save a soul, you will find it easier to make that sacrifice joyfully, just like our Blessed Mother did. There are, of course, other examples of this truth besides our Blessed Mother. And one of these examples comes from France, where in a tiny, impoverished town in the French countryside, the pastor was showing a fellow priest around his little church. The church was a low-ceilinged room with bare, whitewashed walls and plain wooden benches that clearly showed how poor the parish was. The sacristy was much the same, plain, bare, and poor. But when the pastor had opened one of the plain wooden cabinets, he showed his friend a magnificent golden chalice, covered with intricate etchings and studded with costly gems. "My friend," the visitor exclaimed, "your church and village are very poor. How did you come by this treasure, which would make the richest churches of Paris envious?" "Oh," the pastor said, "I knew you would be surprised. You see, many years ago, there was a young servant girl named Marie who worked at a rich chateau a few miles from here. Marie was a good and pious girl who would often come here after work to visit our Lord. Since she had just come from a rich man's house where every room had tapestries and fine furniture, and where the table was set with gold and silver, she was saddened to realize that here in this church, the King of Kings had only a small bare room and a plain little chalice. She wished that she had great riches so that she might lay them at his feet. But since she did not, she resolved to save every penny she could in order to buy a chalice worthy of our divine Savior. Of course, she realized that this offering would take her years, maybe even her whole lifetime, that it would take so long to earn so much money. but she imagined giving our Lord a golden chalice studded with jewels and covered with filigree, and this thought made her smile. From that time on, she led a life of the greatest poverty. She refused herself every pleasure, denied herself every comfort, in order to save money for that chalice. But as time went on, she realized that she would need to make even more money to purchase the chalice of her dreams. So she began to spend her little free time making lace to sell. Night after night, while her fellow servants and the villagers slept, she sat up making lace, thinking all the while of our Lord and the beautiful chalice she would give him. Many years passed in this way. Young Marie's hair turned gray, and she became an old lady. Even so, she hadn't yet earned the amount she needed, although, to be fair, she was getting close. One day, some rich ladies accidentally discovered Marie's secret, that she had been making every sacrifice and saving every penny she could to buy a magnificent chalice. So these ladies, ashamed at their own indifference, gave her the amount she still needed. That, the pastor concluded, is the story of this beautiful chalice. What happened to Marie? His visitor asked. The pastor shook his head. That was all before my time here. She is buried in the cemetery close to the church, but the old villagers still refer to her as the saint. Yes, my dear friends, Marie spent practically her whole life in poverty, willingly sacrificing every pleasure and comfort and working long into the night in order to give God a magnificent chalice with which his priest could renew the unbloody sacrifice of the cross every day. She did this willingly and joyfully because she was living by faith. She knew who is in the Blessed Sacrament and resolved to give him a sacred vessel worthy of him. It meant, of course, many, many long years of hard work and suffering that all seemed unrewarded and even pointless from a natural point of view. But still, Marie had joy in her sacrifice. She, of course, eventually succeeded in her goal, and we may be sure she was richly rewarded by God for her love. Now, you know, my dear friends, that our faith enables us to see the purpose of life, that we are to know, love, and serve God in this world so that we can be happy with him forever in the next. Our faith shows us the purpose of suffering. That is, that it is a means to comfort the Sacred Heart, to return love and gratitude to him, and that suffering is the way to earn salvation for ourselves and for those we care about. So let us then, my dear friends, resolve now to live our faith every day, as did our Blessed Mother, to really live it, by offering up all our daily actions and all our daily crosses to our Lord. Resolve to think more of him when the sacrifice is difficult, to remember that by your sacrifices you can please him and atone for your own sins and for those of your loved ones. St. John Vianney once said, "Here is a rule for everyday life. Do not do anything which you cannot offer to God." And I would add to what the saint said, and be sure to offer what you do cheerfully, because God loveth a cheerful giver. And when this is difficult, ask Our Lady to help you. If you joyfully unite your sacrifices and sufferings with our Lord's, you will be earning a great reward in heaven. You might say that you will be purchasing a magnificent spiritual chalice by doing this. Every sacrifice that you make cheerfully will be a gem or an engraving on this chalice. And while it is true that this cheerful spirit of faith will not take away the pain of sufferings and crosses, it will reveal their purpose to you and will help you to bear them willingly. And then, like Our Lady, even if a sword of sorrow pierces your soul, it will reveal a great deal of love for God and earn you many, many blessings. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.